Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started. So in this week's podcast, the lovely Laura and I are reunited again for a joint podcast, and we're going to be talking all about the whole idea of intuitive eating, and is restricting your diet healthy in any way? What if you want to be gluten-free or feel better not eating dairy? Is that healthy? Is that intuitive eating? What is this tension between healing your body and being completely free around food? Because it's quite a juicy topic. I know both Laura and I have conversations with the people all the time in our communities and with our clients. And so we're going to be diving into that old topic and sharing our thoughts on it. But before we dive on into that, it's probably worth mentioning a little bit about our retreat, Laura.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, we are running a fabulous retreat at the end of September. So it's literally the very end of September, October, isn't it? I think is it the 30th?
Yeah, it's the 29th of September to the 1st of October.
There we go. In Oxford, in the UK, and we'd absolutely love you to join us. You can find out more details at wholehealthylive.com/retreats if you're interested in coming along. It's going to be an amazing weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. Yes. It's highlighted in bright pink in my diary.
Yes.
I'm like, woohoo! And then mine too. I just go to the hotel page and I'm like, oh, it looks so nice.
It is. The hotel, guys, has got a spa, a full spa. So yep. You can make, you know, it's going to be a really luxurious and fun weekend.
No, it is. So yeah, definitely if you're interested, if you feel like you need a retreat, that you need some time for you to reset and shift and just make and just feel the way that you've been wanting to feel. It's so funny, we do that sometimes. We're like, oh, I want to feel free, I want to feel more confident, I want to feel healthy. But sometimes we don't quite know how to get there almost. Yeah. And how to make those shifts. And then it can just get frustrating and we can end up feeling hopeless. Oh, nothing's going to change. And actually things can completely. We sometimes just need to take a bit of a bold step and be like, no, I'm doing this for me and for my health. And so we've got a bunch of awesome women signed up already, but we do have more tickets that we managed to get available, which is awesome. So that'd be fun. But before we dive in, Laura, how have you been doing? How is life? Any exciting updates or same old, same old?
It's pretty much same old, same old. I think since our last update, I don't think there's been anything major happening. We were talking, weren't we, beforehand that it feels like, I think summer's kind of like an interesting time. There's a bit of like a lull that kind of comes once you really get into summer, but in a nice way. So yeah. It feels like I'm just kind of enjoying that bit of time and space, and like everything's all nice and settled at home, and Finley's well, and James as well. And although James is really, really putting me to shame with his running.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he's totally gotten into it, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. So he's doing the Bladen races. Are you familiar with that? I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I used to sing that at school.
Yeah. So he's doing the iconic Bladen races in Newcastle. As we record this, it's Friday, like tomorrow night, as we record this. So he's really excited about doing that, and he's doing all sorts of races, and wants to do a marathon next year when he's 40, which tells you something about how old James is, obviously. But he's 5 years older than me, everyone.
I didn't realise that. Yeah, because I was like, yeah, because I knew you weren't 40 next year.
No, definitely not.
We would have chatted about those plans.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I'm 35 in August and he's 40 in next February. So okay. He wants to do a marathon. So he's really doing really, really well on that. And I'm really proud of him, actually. And it is quite interesting, you know, sometimes the dynamics between like couples and exercise and food and stuff. And he's just been, it's been quite interesting, his journey, actually, alongside mine, I think, has been quite interesting, because James is gluten-free.
Oh, yes.
Which pertains to this topic that we're going to be discussing today. I say gluten-free, I would say like 80% gluten-free, because he knows that it feels different and his body feels different when he does have gluten. That's about as interesting as things are at the moment. James doing his races, but that's kind of nice, just having that settledness. And how about you, Kezia? What's happening in your world?
Well, a similar kind of thing. The last couple of weeks have felt like a little bit more settled and chilled. Although last week I was quite ill with a cold. If you follow me on Instagram, I just was like externally processing through Instagram stories about my cold. So I make myself laugh so much with my Instagram stories, because the idea that you're just in your house talking to yourself, taking a video, like a tiny 15-second video, and I just find hilarious. And it's just such a funny concept, but I do enjoy it. Like anyway.
So I think we're both on Instagram stories quite a bit, aren't we?
I really enjoy it. It's just like my little external processing moment where I'm like, so what's going on with me today? People must be like, shut up, Kezia. Stop talking about your food or about life. And then next week, I'm just really preparing for going away. I go away on holiday next week, which will be really exciting. I'm really ready, actually, for some time away. And it's actually quite exciting in a way, because I quite like things to be super planned. And my other half, Joe, he's a bit more like Mr. Spontaneous, kind of go with the flow, live in the moment, you know, one of those wonderful character types. And so for this holiday, we have planned certain things, because we've got friends and family that we're staying with, but a lot of it is kind of like unplanned, and he's really excited about that more spontaneous element of like, oh, we have 4 days, where will we go in Canada? And I'm a bit like, oh right, we haven't booked anywhere to stay really. And he's like, oh, Airbnb, you can get away with it, it doesn't matter, which you totally can. So I'm quite looking forward to being a bit more spontaneous, which that's not how I naturally roll, really, especially with traveling all that much, which is funny. I think a lot of people get surprised when I tell them that, because I think I maybe come across as more spontaneous than I am. So I think that'll be really fun, and we're going to see my new nephew, which will be cute. So my sister-in-law had a little baby, and actually we planned quite a lot of like mountain time and wilderness time, which I think in between seeing people, so I'm really looking forward to just some hills and Canada. I'm going to Canada, I don't know if I said that, so we'll be in British Columbia and that whole area for the whole time, and that's got some beautiful mountains outdoors. We're going to go canoeing up a river and go up some mountains, do some rock climbing, and just be outside. That sounds like I'm going to be super active. I'm probably not. I'm probably going to mainly lounge and read. But just being in nature, I find so restorative. It really helps my brain just to be like, all is well with the world. And life goes on, and trees grow, and like things, it just really helps with my perspective. So that should be really, really exciting. And I just need to make sure, I need to choose my bikini. I was telling Laura, I just went and spent like far too much money on bikinis to get sent to my house the other day. Now I've got like 6 in my bedroom that I'm trying to pick between. But actually, in saying that though, I was trying them on last night and I was like quite proud of myself. I was like, you know what, Kezia, you've come so far with this whole body image bikini. Because I remember going to buy a swimming costume, deeply traumatic from about like 11 onwards, because I was overweight as a child, so trying to get swimming costume for school was always awful. And I've got quite a long body, so swimming costumes don't often fit because I'm too long between like my body's longer than my legs. And then as a teenager, and then I remember going on my first girls' holiday to like Tenerife when I was 17 with all my supermodel friends, and like, it was just again a horrible experience. Whereas actually, like, now I'm a bit like, oh, I need a new bikini. That's a nice bikini. Oh, I'll try it on. Oh, it looks nice. Or it doesn't look nice. That's also fine. It's okay. Not every bikini is going to look good on me. And then just be like, oh, as opposed to it being this like emotional turmoil about my worth and value. It's just like, oh, here we go. This is a nice item of clothing to wear on a beach. Done.
Yeah. That's exactly it. I think there's so much, I mean, we could do a whole podcast just on that, couldn't we? But there's so much stuff kind of tied into swimwear for some reason.
Yeah, and looking perfect on the beach. And I actually love the beach, but I tend to like do things. Like I'll be in the sea, or I'll want to build a sandcastle, even if my nieces and nephews aren't with me. Or even if I'm just reading a book. And it's, I think there's, we just can get a bit bogged down by thinking that other people are staring and scrutinizing us the entire time. And people just aren't, like, and if they are, I mean, they need to go and get some better hobbies. Which is fun. But on to the topic of today, which isn't bikinis, that could be another topic. We're talking about food and intuitive eating and being free around food, balance, whilst balancing that with I suppose, what people would call food restrictions. Because I think we had this conversation a while ago, didn't we, Laura, where I think I was saying, like, on paper, if I wrote out, like, bullet points of what I do and do not eat in mm-hmm. general, I, on paper, could look like I have a really restrictive diet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like my diet is actually very freeing and I eat in quite an intuitive way. And I know that both of us have gotten asked about this at various points, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Around this idea of, oh, well, you know, I can eat all foods and no, there's no good or bad foods, but actually if I eat dairy, I have diarrhea for 3 days. So does that make it a bad food for me, or am I getting restrictive? Is that a toxic relationship I have? Should I just eat the cheese and have the diarrhea? And yes. No, you don't need to. Mm-hmm. But I think it is a really interesting conversation to have. So what have you found is your experience either with yourself, Laura, or with kind of clients in your community with this whole topic?
I think it's really, really interesting, and I'm glad we're having the conversation about it, because it's honestly, it's a really, really tricky one. And I think what we've got to remember is that what is perhaps bordering on disordered for someone is not for someone else, and yeah. vice versa. So it's a really, really personal thing. And ultimately, I honestly believe that only you will know the difference. I think it's about cultivating that relationship with yourself. I'm not going to say this whole kind of listen to your body kind of thing, because I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's about cultivating that relationship with yourself where you know what your motives are.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately when the restriction is there and it's about weight, even if you're like, I mean, I can remember from you know, just to give myself as an example, you know, I was vegan for about 18 months, and I told myself that the reason I was doing it was because I believed at the time that a vegan diet was healthier, with the ethical elements of it as well. But I knew underneath, really, it was about weight, and it was about a fear of gaining weight, and it was about maintaining and, you know, losing weight, basically. And I know that that was the honest truth underneath, but at the time I couldn't really see that. So I can really understand how tricky this whole thing can be. I think when you add in something like an actual medical issue, or just a symptom, if you like, just what you were talking about with dairy, then again, that changes the conversation a little bit around what is going to work for you. And I think it's tricky because, you know, we're seeing some, and I think generally it's a really, really brilliant that we're seeing this move, especially on social media, around being much, much freer with food and not dieting and not having restrictions at all. I think generally that's a really, really positive thing for most women. However, I think there's a lot of women whose bodies don't suit that level of just... and it's really tricky because I want to say that level of freedom. I think everyone deserves freedom, and I think I know that you'll come on and talk about how free you feel with food, even with apparent restrictions on it. I just think it is a really, really difficult topic to pull apart in a way.
Yeah.
And I think it really just comes down to the individual. But often it can be hard. And again, speaking from personal experience, I know it can be hard to kind of like pull apart all of this stuff and to figure out what's right for you. And I mean, just to talk about where I am now, I suppose, is like, I know that I don't actually need to have a lot of restrictions on what I eat to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, that might change in the future. Like, I've got a bit of a question mark over dairy at the moment. But generally, like, I know that I don't particularly need any restrictions. I haven't got any evidence of digestion type stuff. I don't particularly crave sugar in any major way. I know that I can personally tell the difference when it's a mindset thing versus a physical thing.
Yeah.
So I feel comfortable with what I eat. But then again, if I was someone who like you had diarrhea when I eat dairy, or like James notices like headaches and certain particular things when he eats gluten and digestive issues when he eats gluten, then that would be an invitation for me to explore that. But
yeah.
It's a real tricky one.
Yeah, I do think it is tricky to navigate on your own. But I do think what you said is a really good point, actually, is the restriction coming from a purely weight-based motivation? Mm-hmm. Like, are you thinking that you will somehow love your body more and get thinner, and therefore going gluten-free is the answer. I think if that's the thought process, like, oh, if only I could lose this weight, and I'll just go gluten, dairy, and like you said, I'll just go mm-hmm. vegan, because it's a great excuse. Mm-hmm. It can be used, sorry, as a great excuse for a lot of unhelpful restrictions with foods, because you can say at social gatherings, no, I'm not eating anything, I'm vegan, you know, mm-hmm. nothing is vegan, or whatever the label is. It might be, you might use paleo for the same reason, you might use vegetarianism for the same reason. It doesn't really matter what the way of eating is. And I think that, and it's that motivation, and you're right, it's that mindset and that belief, and, you know, what is it that you're trying to get out of it. I think you should only restrict or look at restricting food when you know that the motive behind it is like 90% of, I think my body needs to heal.
Yeah.
And there's inflammation and there's imbalance. And mm-hmm. I think I need to give my body, there's something my body from a physical level isn't enjoying it. Or there's something even from a mental level, you know, food sensitivities can affect your mood and depression and your mental health massively. I know that with a lot of my food sensitivities, it's just not worth it for my mental well-being. Mm-hmm. But it's very different to if I just like ditch gluten, then, or if I tell everyone I'm paleo, then at all our family gatherings, no one will bother me. I can just stand on my paleo high horse and not eat anything, and then I can go home and binge later if I want to. Like, that's not healthy, and it's not going to do anyone any good ever. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's a healthy healthy point of, and a good question, a good practical thing to ask. Are mm-hmm. you, is your restriction around your diet mainly because you are thinking you need to be thinner mm-hmm. or trying to drop 2 stone in 7 days, like mm-hmm. lots of people try it this time of year, lose a stone in a day, as Peter Kay. I'm sure there's a sketch of Peter Kay when he talks about all these like these fad diets he's been on. They offer like a stone of weight loss in 2 days, and you're like, no guys, it's not gonna happen unless you like chop off a boob or something. It's just not, which actually we still wouldn't do it in my case either. My boobs are too small. I just wouldn't lose a stone. so I think from my perspective, like if I look at the things that I eat, and just from a practical point of view, so for those of you listening, I don't eat gluten. Mm-hmm. That's quite a non-negotiable for me. It's just not worth it for me. Mm-hmm. It sets my joints off, so I can have quite painful joints mm-hmm. after eating it. I don't eat grains as well, which I've discovered I just feel better not having that. So grains, you can get gluten-free grains, like rice and oats can be gluten-free grains. I generally feel better most of the time not having them. Like I might have rice sometimes or mm-hmm. oats sometimes, but in general, I don't do refined sugars really in general 80% of the time. You know, I'm going to eat some dark Lindt chocolate that has mm-hmm. refined sugar in, but in general, I don't do that. And I what else? Dairy, I don't drink. I do drink some milk, but I don't do a lot of dairy other than butter. I do tons of butter, but I don't buy cheese and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. on paper, it can kind of look like there's a lot of things I don't really eat. And I do think you can, it's possible to not eat gluten, not eat dairy, not eat refined sugar, and actually the reason for that to be quite warped and unhealthy. And it's actually about control and restriction and actually a form of punishment really for your body. But I really see the way that I eat as part of my self-care actually, and a bit of self-love. And I think over the years I have had to, and I think how I've approached actually has always come from, how I've always approached restrictions and diet has always come from a place of healing. Mm-hmm. So I remember years ago when I was like 16 going to doctors, they told me I had IBS, and the doctor, for some reason, I didn't realize how progressive they were at the time, but they mm-hmm. were like, maybe try a period of time without dairy. Cause I had diarrhea like 4 or 5 times a day, from about age 15 onwards. And so the was like, maybe just try a couple of weeks without dairy and see if that makes a difference to symptoms. So I went and did that, and it did make a difference. And I thought, oh, it didn't solve everything, but I felt a bit better. And I thought, oh, this is easy. There's lots of milk alternatives. This isn't too bad. I can do this. And that started me along the road of how is the food I'm eating making me feel awesome, mm-hmm. or is it making me feel crap? And I think I've never really veered down that unhealthy, restrictive path mm-hmm. with food, I suppose, because my primary reason has always been, does this food make me feel awesome, or does it make me feel like crap? I kind of treat it as a bit of an experiment.
Yeah.
Like, so if gluten didn't make me feel crap, then I would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite simple. Like if refined sugar. So like at Christmas, for some reason, Christmas time to me is all about like Quality Streets and mm-hmm. those huge tins of Quality Streets and roses that are just ridiculous size. But I love sitting and watching a film and eating Quality Streets. It's just awesome Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I'll do that. And then always by like the 29th of December, I'm like, oh man, that sugar. Like I feel a bit gloomy. I just feel less myself.
Yeah.
I feel like I get this sugar haze, which makes me a bit more depressed, to be honest. I've noticed that having suffered depression before, I know that vibe of that big grey cloud that just comes and plonks itself on my brain. I know when that's on the horizon, and I know that's, for me, that's to do with sugar. So it's just, it's mm-hmm. not even, now in my conversation, it's never really about the restriction. It's about, I'm determined to feel more awesome as I get older and older, and as every day that passes, and the food that I eat can either help me feel more awesome, or it can help me feel a bit more crap.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think the interesting thing as well is, like you might make, you know, someone listening to this might know that sugar gives them a headache, but it might be totally worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't feel great eating the Quality Streets, but I do it for
you. Yeah.
And then I think, nah, okay, I'm over this now.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's that, it kind of comes into that whole thing about the motivation for doing it. And I think when the motivation is like you know the stuff that's just a no way, and you know the stuff that's actually sometimes I'll take the hit because I know that I'm going to enjoy it, or because having that freedom to make the choice. And I suppose that this is the thing, you know, we all have the freedom to make the choice. I think it's when you feel like you don't have the freedom. That would be something that would be an alarm bell to me, is if you don't feel that you have the freedom. You know, you can give up sugar, but that should be about you making a choice. If you feel like you just have to, like, it's just, oh, I have to give up sugar and I can't have it and that's it and it's off the, you know, I think that's a different, it's like a different energy that you bring into it.
Yeah, I know. And I think I think it's such a good point. And it's some of it's around, like, do you have fear around eating? So like, are you like, oh, all my friends, I'm going to my friend's house and there's gonna be so much sugar, mm-hmm. or like, and you panic about being around sugar?
Yeah,
I feel like that's quite weird.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Or like, it's my friend's birthday and everyone's going to a restaurant, and it's an Italian restaurant with lots of pizza. Like, an Italian restaurants aren't the best place for people to eat gluten-free generally, although now, to be fair,
you can get some really good, apparently James had a fantastic gluten-free pizza in Brighton.
Yeah, I've had some really good ones actually recently. And if I was scared about that social situation of interacting with my friends, whom I love, because of gluten, then, you know, actually it just requires a phone call. Hey, do you do gluten-free things? Great, done, dusted.
Yeah.
And I think that can be quite unhelpful. And you're right, I think it's also what we're willing to take the hit for. And that is different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I know dairy intolerance kind of runs in my family. I had a genetic test done recently mm-hmm. that showed we had a specific genetic SNP that means we just don't deal with dairy that well. And we've known that mm-hmm. since we were little. We'd all have eczema a lot when we were little. Mum would remove dairy, our eczema would disappear. It was kind of... And I suppose, but with my brothers, they love, like at Christmas time, they know they shouldn't eat lots of cheese from the cheese board, but they're totally like, oh, I'm just taking the hit for it. Even my sister, she's like, nah, I'm just getting my like dairy eczema on my elbows. And then she's like, and then she's done with it. So I think,
mm-hmm.
and for me, like, I'll take a hit a bit more with alcohol. Like, I know alcohol, I know from a you know, a nutrition level, what alcohol does to your liver, and it can make me feel a bit sluggish and imbalance my blood sugars and blah, blah, blah. But I really like having a drink of wine and some whiskey. Like, that's, so I'm really happy to take the hit for that in a way, but I'm not for gluten, but that's my personal choice. Some people with alcohol, they're like, cannot give a stuff about alcohol. It's just not worth it. But that burger and the awesome brioche bun, that, you know, they're like, nah, I'm going for that full hog.
Yeah, it is. I think it's such an interesting conversation. I mean, again, you know, you bring into it the element that some people have conditions that can really benefit from a certain nutritional approach, which I think is another whole, you know, another whole kettle of fish. And I think, you know, the conversations that people are having around intuitive eating and around freedom with food can be very, very hard when you have a an actual condition where you need to eat a little bit more restricted for your condition.
Yes.
So, for example, if you've got an autoimmune problem or something like that, where you are really going to benefit, potentially really, really, really benefit from having a period of healing through nutrition, I think that's, you know, again, but it's, again, it's the energy, you know, if you're bringing that, if you're approaching that from a place which is all about you healing, and it's not about this kind of restriction about weight or restriction about feeling good enough or any of those kind of things, I think it switches it up. It's a really individual thing, I think, is what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. It is really individual, and there is no shadow of doubt, there is so many health issues out there where restricting certain food groups and certain foods will help you to feel better and recover. But again, that really depends on the person and what's going on. And I think that's a tension I actually do find within my practice one-to-one, is a lot of people that I work with have a lot of, say, digestive issues or hormonal imbalances, or just, or we're trying to figure out what's going on with them. And it is that balance of actually being like, so we were chatting about Hashimoto's before the show. So Hashimoto's is an autoimmune version of a thyroid issue. It's very common in women. It's mainly women. Men do get it. And it's something I suspect I had. And it's basically when you perform, you create antibodies that attack your thyroid. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research that shows gluten exacerbates Hashimoto's. There's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of studies that have been done. It just irritates that antibody production and that inflammation within the body. So that I, like, from my perspective, I know that from a research point of view, but if I have a client in front of me that we suspect there's thyroid issues going on, but also has a really warped relationship with food, actually the warped relationship with food is a thing you've got to work on first.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was going to bring up like mindset stuff, because I think when there's not like an address, when a mindset stuff isn't addressed, then the, what tends to happen is people self-sabotage. So even though they know that stuff is going to be, it's going to be better for them not to have certain things, just simply because we've got such loaded, emotionally loaded relationships with food generally, I think if that stuff's not addressed, I think it can just be like a vicious, negative, destructive circle, basically. No matter how many things you try and change. So I think it's really, really important to look at it from that point of view as well.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like, it was really important that you do both. Like, I had a client recently who came to me after working with someone else in the nutrition field. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a dietitian, but I don't know if it was a nutritional therapist or what. And basically, because they didn't deal with the mindset piece with her, basically, she just lost far too much weight, to an unhealthy level, where her doctor referred her to a dietitian. But it was because this person suspected there was some yeast issues with her, so they just put her on a yeast protocol, which can be quite restrictive. She did have yeast, because she had stool tests that showed that. Mm-hmm. But because the mindset piece missed there, she just got more and more scared around food, ate less and less and less, to the point where it was incredibly unhealthy. And you know, she was never going to sort out her yeast issues, because if you're underweight, it's just not, you know, your body's just not going to focus on that. And and I think that's part of what so much has been missing, I think, historically, is that people are like, oh, you have candida, oh, you have thyroid issues, oh, you have adrenals, oh, you have eczema, you should just stop eating this, and this, and pay no consideration to what your relationship with your body is like. What's your relationship with food? What's your relationship, you know, what's your stress levels in life like? And I think all of those are equally important factors to consider, because otherwise you just self-sabotage along the way, and it's treating yourself like your body's like this box, and oh, you've got eczema, so we'll tick that box, and then obviously that doesn't affect any other aspect and isn't affected by any other aspect of your life, and that's just not how our bodies work. Like,
no. And I mean, like I was saying, for people who listen to my solo episode, probably a couple of weeks ago, once this goes live, and I was talking about how I think sometimes, to be honest, I think it is about coming at it from if you imagine food and exercise and all that kind of stuff being like on the bottom of a pyramid, sometimes I actually think it's better going from the top and actually dealing with stuff like, do you actually have any joy in your life? And how is your stress yeah. levels? And actually going there, because I think, you know, you can treat things with food. And obviously, both Kezia and I are obviously massively, we know the power that has in terms of helping heal certain things. But I think often if you do, you know, you might heal some stuff down there, but you'll only get so far up. And I think when you come at things from that, from the top down, and you address things like mindset and happiness and how much joy are you getting on a daily basis and all that kind of stuff, I think it sets you up for so much more success when you actually do start and tackle the food stuff.
Yeah,
or do it at the same time. Do you know what I mean? And let the two things meet in the middle if you can. It's I just think we can't like separate those things out
no
from each other, really.
No, and I think as often as women, there's a lot of things intermingled with our food and what we eat and our symptoms and how we feel the way we feel. Like, I think with all the clients I've worked with, I've probably worked with literally two or three that have just been very pragmatic, if that makes sense, and very much just like, I just need some strategy around nutrition.
Yeah.
My stress isn't high, my relationship with food is good, I like my body, my relationships are fine, you know, like, obviously not perfect, but when you probe, you realize, actually, I think they do just need a nutritional strategy. Yeah. But that's probably like three out of like hundreds. So it's sometimes people need that, but in general, I think people need, it is that much more holistic approach. And I love that question about joy as well, because it's you can get a bit obsessed with like what you eat and what you're not eating and what you should be eating symptom you do have or don't have.
Well, this and another thing, I mean, it is, you know, obviously both Kezia and I coaches, obviously Kezia's got way more knowledge on the nutrition front than I have, but I think it's one of those things that it can be a bit, you know, like I spoke a bit recently about how I was having some issues with my bladder, and you can take yourself down a rabbit warren of issues and what things could be, and it can become really, really overwhelming very, very fast. And I think, you know, when you're in that place, if you can get some support from somewhere, go and get some support from somewhere, because it can be really, really hard. I mean, thankfully, my stuff, I've kind of identified it's not something that can be sorted out with food, and it's something that's thankfully a lot better now. But it's, you know, I mean, it can be like really overwhelming, and you know, the last thing we want is you to be seeing like symptoms in every little thing, but it's just finding that balance with everything, I think, and finding out what's going to work for you, and, you know, advocating for yourself, and, you know, just having that kind of attitude of curiosity when it comes to your body and what's going to make you feel the best and all that kind of stuff. Because often I think it is a balance between, you know, like how much, you know, the restrictions that you choose to put on your diet and your general kind of joy of food and stuff as well. And I think it's about having a balance and deciding to see what actually works for you in all of that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But if your relationship with food is not good, that's going to be hard anyway, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And some things aren't. Some things aren't solved with food and nutrition. Yeah. And I think people might be like, what? But Kezia, that's what you do. But like, some things just aren't. Like, it's a part. It can be a great part of it. But there's so many healing modalities and ways the body loves to heal and repair and restore and rebuild, that it can sometimes be a deeper thing. It can be genetics. It can be... I had a genetics test done recently, and it was really helpful in a kind of slightly mind-boggling way of just being like, oh, oh, this is why, like, so it came up, some the specific genetic predispositions that affect your kind of exercise and movement, so mm-hmm. how well you recover, how well you build muscle, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, according to your genetic profile, you're very well suited to endurance events, like mm-hmm. endurance activities, mm-hmm. which is so funny because I've always been absolutely horrendous at sprinting anything fast, mm-hmm. anything that's like, go and sprint or do that 100 meters, 200 meters, 500 meters, like useless, yeah. absolutely useless at it. But when I used to run, I could happily run for half a marathon, like however mm-hmm. 13 miles. I mean, I trained for it, obviously, mm-hmm. but I didn't have a problem to slowly but surely yeah. quad my way along to doing that. But to get me to sprint for 100 meters, oh, this, like, I'd just be useless. There's no point in doing that. Mm-hmm. But so it was all these little things, these little clues and bits that you add along the journey where you just learn more about yourself and what does you good and what makes you feel more awesome and why you are the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. I think is a key part. It's not all just about gluten and dairy. It's yes. it's about so much more.
It is. It is. And I guess, I mean, hopefully we haven't confused you guys more. But I think the takeaway things are, you know, knowing what your motivations are and being really, really honest with yourself about what those might be, dealing with the mindset issues perhaps before going, like, and, you know, before doing something really, really restrictive, I think is always a good thing. To do is always helpful. And anything else that you want to sum up
that we can cover? No, I think that's really good. I think maybe in a future episode we could talk about what sort of food choices you can make to support certain health issues and things going on. Because I do think it's quite useful to be armed with the right knowledge. But I do think it's around, from what we've talked about, that freedom to have with food starts with your kind of motivation, and actually yeah. any restriction of food should always come from a place of freedom, actually, and from a place of healing and loving your body and just wanting to feel more awesome. I think mm-hmm. it's okay to restrict gluten if you just want to try and see if it makes you feel more awesome. I think mm-hmm. that's okay. That's kind of how I would sum it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Makes me think of the Lego song, "Everything is awesome."
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really think about you. Every time I think of feeling more awesome, I just think of, like, I watched it too many times with my nephews.
Yeah.
"Everything is awesome." So just, you know, makes me feel awesome.
Just
see
the picture of the little dance as well.
Yeah. I'm doing the dance in my office. Which is fun.
Yeah.
But guys, make sure if you've not subscribed to our channel, then head over to iTunes and you can do the little subscribe button, and then yes. we'll automatically pop up onto your devices every week with our new podcast episodes. And if you are on iTunes and you think, I really like Kezia and Laura's podcast, it would be great if you left us a review.
That would
be awesome. It's quite easy to do. You just go onto the actual channel and click look at the reviews, and then you can click leave your own review on there, and that would be fabulous. We'd love to read the reviews, and it helps us just to get our whole healthy live message to further afield so that more women can feel more awesome and love their bodies and have fun doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.